Hello, everyone. Welcome to Making the Biblical Text Meaningful to Life, a platform on which difficult biblical texts are discussed. If you know or if you want to understand certain texts in the Bible or a topic of your choice that you want to understand, send us an email and we will teach it right here on this platform. This is our calling and it's going to be great. All right, Rob, will you please lead us in a time of prayer? Are you there?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Abba, Father, O gracious Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we just come humbly before you this evening, here to study your word, to learn more about you, and to draw closer to you, Father. Lord, speak through us, through your Holy Spirit, Father. Guide this discussion. Guide our hearts and our minds, Father. Remove any distractions, any hindrance from your word. Just let it flow this evening. And Lord, help us to continue to yield to you as we continue to draw closer and to listen to your voice, Father, and to your guidance. Thank you so much for this study and the things that we're learning. In your Son's precious name and by his blood we're saved. We give thanks to you, and in his name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Rob. All right. We are back tonight. Last week, we did part one on Jacob. And this week, we are going to focus on the birth of his children. In part one, we discussed the family crisis within the household of Jacob, which resulted in Jacob leaving the promised land to Haran to find a wife. And this issue was on hand, and he had to leave based upon the advice and the counsel of the mother. Rebekah reached the decision and influenced Jacob, as we discussed. Isaac realized this, and he accepted the counsel of his wife, and Jacob was sent home. So, the whole thing was because of this birthright episode that we discussed in previous lectures, still hanging around, and the family is not, the two boys are at loggerhead. Jacob was loved by the mother, and Esau was loved by the father. So this is a whole family thing. There was a split in the family in a sense. And the key thing, Esau had vowed to kill his brother when their father died. Based upon this, the mother decided for his son to go to Haran, to the family home, to get a wife. And I think one of the key things we talked last week was he just wanted Jacob to get away from the wrath of Esau. Now, from our lecture last week, we learned, if you have not really listened to that video, please go back and listen to part one, because there's a lot of things there that are very good for you. In part one, that was one of the key things. There's one wedding and two wives. And so those things, you will learn about them. All right. While Jacob was on his way and going to his family home in Haran, as you know, he was worried. We talked about it last week. He had serious problem thinking about a lot of things. He got to a place and he's so tired, put stones together, lay his head on it, and went sound to sleep. But while he was sleeping, God came to him. And Rob, you say you have a note.
Sir.
Yeah. What that? You say you have a note here.
Yes. So a quick reminder of why Jacob was on the road. It all began with his mother and father. His father favored Esau, the firstborn, and his mother favored Jacob. So this put them in competition with one another.
Mm-hmm.
And Jacob was encouraged by his mom to resort to less than honest means to acquire both the firstborn's birthright and his father's blessing. So now Esau, as you mentioned, was wanting to kill him. So he goes on the road. He's in great despair. And we see this repeated in his life. So in Genesis 29:30, we read, "And he went in also unto Rachel, and he loved also Rachel more than Leah, and served with him yet 7 other years." So what do you think is going to happen? You know, does God love us according to varying degrees? No, he loves us unconditionally. But here we're seeing these. So now getting to where he is, where he's resting. So we jumped, we went backwards, we went ahead, coming to where we are in the text now, to where he's on the road and God comes to speak to him. So in Genesis 28:13-15, God communicates to Jacob about the blessings and protection that are to come. There are no conditions placed on Jacob. No favoritism, no conditions at all.
Right.
Now, what is Jacob's response to God speaking to him? We read this in Genesis 28:20-21. He says, "If God will protect me and provide for me, then I will serve him." A conditional response.
Conditional, right.
So he put 3 conditions on God. So now, is this something that we do? Do we put conditions on God? "Lord, if you only provide this job for me, then I will serve you better. I will give more back." You know, is this human nature?
Right.
You know, is this appropriate response? Is this a strong faith or weak faith position? One of the things is that I've learned is if you're not able to handle the little that you're given, how can you handle more?
That's impossible.
You know, we have to learn to be content with what we have. And going all the way back to the beginning in Genesis, where God created everything and put man in charge of the garden, he gave us dominion over everything. But everything we have proceeds from God. We must remember that.
Right.
And as God said here, that to Jacob, that he's going to bless him and protect him and provide for him. So if we just rest and have faith in him, as he is doing here, he's resting and sleeping, though he's weary, he's receiving a word from the Lord.
Yep.
And an unconditional covenant.
Mm-hmm.
Our promise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you are right, Rob. Thank you. I mean, you nailed it. Here is Jacob presenting a condition before God Almighty. "If you stand before me, if you protect me and bring me back, get me food to eat, and bring me back to my family house, then I will serve you. Then you will be my God." Can you imagine that, Rob?
No, but it got me thinking about, I know in times in my life where I'm like, "God, if I can just get through this or get there safely," that's a condition.
Yeah.
You know, especially in my early days as a Christian, or in periods where, you know, I think there's seasons where we're really close to God and seasons where, you know, we're not as close. And in those times where I'm not as close, I know I've fallen back to that.
Right.
That behavior, which is why I think it's just sort of inherent to human nature. But yeah, it makes us question the level of faith.
Right. Yeah, you're right. Okay, thank you. Now, let us look at our specific objective tonight. At the end of our study of part 2, those who are following by replay and those who are with us live tonight, you are going to understand and believe that the fruits of the sin of polygamy is unequal love, envy, jealousy, strife, hatred, and family disorder. You will also understand, we will study that Jacob is the center. Jacob is in the center of the family crisis. All the things that were going on, Jacob was in the center. The names and meanings of Jacob's children demonstrated the strife between the two sisters. And the appropriate name of this kind of strife, we will learn about it tonight. God is the giver of children, not any other thing. Only God can give us children. That's what the Bible says. Rachel was barren because of the hatred Jacob had for Leah. Rachel was right for attacking Jacob to give her children. Jacob had 11 sons and one daughter in Haran and one son in Canaan that we learn about. Now, Rob.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Jacob hated Leah, his first wife, and because of that, God touched the wife that was loved not to have a child. So what do you think about it? Was Jacob responsible for what was going on in the life of his wife, Rachel? Because the Bible plainly told us, because he loved Rachel and hated Leah, her womb was closed. What do you think?
Well, yeah, we see that here, you know, he had fallen in love or lust with Rachel at the well from the very beginning, but then, you know, he had to, under the custom of the day, he had to marry Leah first. And we see, I don't know if hatred's the right word. That seems really strong, but we do see that he's mistreating her and doesn't care for her
right
at the same level.
Right.
So in a sense, maybe that is the right word.
Right.
But it's creating all sorts of contention in the house. What's the proverb? Better a small corner of a roof than living under the roof with a quarrelsome wife.
Mm-hmm.
So you have this contention and this strife between the two.
Mm.
And we saw this between Jacob and Esau as well. So it's perpetuating. And now here he has a favorite of a wife. Mm. You know, and maybe it's something he doesn't know better because the way his mom treated him,
right,
maybe he's not seeing the damage that it's doing.
Okay.
But as we continue to read, it just gets worse and worse.
Mm-hmm.
Through the next couple of chapters.
Right. Okay, let me just read the text. I saved the text tonight purposely for here. Now we are in here. Let me just read the text. All right. Our text is Genesis 29 from 31. And let me just read that. When the Lord saw that Leah was not loved, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. Leah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Reuben, for she said, "It is because the Lord has seen my misery. Surely my husband will love me." Now, 33. She conceived again, and when she gave birth to a son, she said, "Because the Lord heard that I am not loved, he gave me this one too." So she named him Simeon. Again, she conceived. When she gave birth to a son, she said, "Now at last, my husband will become attached to me, because I have borne him three sons." So he was named Levi. Now, here the text, because Jacob did not love Leah, the problem came
right
on Rachel.
Right, and we see in verse 31 that Leah was hated. Is it hated by Rachel or hated by Jacob or hated by both?
That both, because the first thing is it was a strife. Rachel was the first, you know, in a polygamous home. If you've never been there, if maybe you are not seeing it, you would not be able to relate to it. But once, if you have two wives, and the other one began to have children, and the other one is not, then there's a fire. There will be a fight.
Right.
So that was a fight that was going on, because Rachel was loved. The Lord opened the womb of the one that was unloved. When she began to have children, her sister was hit at that idea, even though Jacob was kind of happy because he was having children, but that was a major fight. All right. Now, here is the problem we have here. The first child that was born by Leah, his name. His name is kind of something that we need to think about tonight. All right? He gave me a name, Reuben. What did he say? And what you found out in that name, it had to do with what? The wrestling and the hurt that Leah was going through because she was not loved. So the hurt, look what she said here, and I love what the Message Bible said here. See it? She Leah had a son. She named him Reuben. Look, it's a boy. This is a sign, she said, that God has seen my misery. And a sign that now my husband will love me. Can you imagine that? Giving a child name that represented her feelings, her hurt. Now I think since I have this son for my husband, he will develop some kind of love for me. See, that's the meaning. So here is, and then he had the second son. Don't forget, Leah was pregnant again, and she had a second son by the name of Simeon. Now, this is what she said. Simeon means God heard. And I love that, and I put that in the note. She had another son. God heard. She said that I was unloved, and so he gave me this son also. Can you imagine what was going on when the first son was born? She came up with a name and said, I'm weary. I'm unloved. And I believe since I have the first son for my husband, he is going to love me. But I think that didn't work. Right? The reason it didn't work because when the second child came, the second child was giving Simeon a name. Simeon. Which means God heard me. And God gave me another child. God knew that my husband did not love me. So he also blessed me with another son. Rob, what is your take on that?
You're right. I've read this several times. And for some reason, I never picked up in verse 31 the word hate. And looking at it in the Hebrew,
right.
You're right. She was hated. So we see this repeating again. You had the contention between Jacob and Esau. Well, now we're seeing the same thing between the wives here. I'm sure it's going to transfer down to the kids. It's just a mess.
Right.
It's and sad at the same time.
Right. It is sad. It is sad. You see that when the second son was born, things did not work out for her. When the first child was born, she said, oh, I know. His name is Reuben. All of my misery, I know it's going to be resolved because I have a son for my husband. It was not resolved. Then the second son came in, and she named him Simeon and said, God heard me. God heard me because I was unloved, or I am unloved by my husband. Therefore, God heard me and gave me another son. See? All right. Now, in Genesis 29, 34, we find out that Leah had a third son. And the third son was called Levi. Now, the origin of the name is found in Leah's words. And when the third son was born, this is what she said. And this is what the text says. This time, listen carefully. This time will my husband be joined unto me. Other translations say connected. And when you look at the Hebrew say yalaveh. That means my husband will stick to me. But it seemed that it didn't work. Because when the third son was born, I said, I know I had the first son. Thing didn't work out. I had the second one, but I know this third child for my husband, he's going to stick. He's going to love me. He will be connected to me. When you look at the Hebrew word here that was used for joined or connected. So it ends. Now, we find out that Leah also had the fourth son. Well, all this whole strife within the family was going on between the two sisters, which I believe involved the husband as well, was going on. Now, imagine in the polygamous home, if one wife began to have children and the other one is not, the one that is not having children will hate the one that is having children. And that was the case going on between the two sisters. Let's look at the point here. When the fourth son was born, Leah named him Praise. Wow. Now will I praise Jehovah. And she called his name. Now will I praise Jehovah. And he called his name Yehuda. See, Judah means praise. See, and that is the word that is Yehuda in Hebrew. But what is she praising God for in this context? Rob, do you have an idea?
Well, so I do. Two thoughts. One, this contention for children.
Yeah.
Is that desire for kids biblical?
Mm-hmm.
Now, we go back to the command in Genesis to be fruitful and multiply.
Right.
Did that just pertain to Adam, or does that carry all the way through to Leah, to Rachel, to Jacob? To them and to us, or was that just given to Adam and only him? Or is this also something that's become cultural? This expectation to bear children and their value being completely assigned to that,
right?
Because we see that's where the contention is coming from.
I see.
In a sense, that's only one part. But there's another part that's happening here as well. And we start to see Leah's perspective change.
Right.
First, she's looking to her husband to love her.
Right.
And does that work?
It didn't work.
No, she's having these kids. She's doing these different things, expecting a different outcome.
Right.
But she gets the same outcome. She's hated and unloved. Then here, she has her fourth son, and now who's she looking to?
Looking up to Jehovah. Yep.
Yes.
Yes.
And that's important, and we'll talk a little bit more about that in a moment.
Right. Okay, now, what I want to bring to you tonight, and I want you to pay any attention, those of you that are alive and by replay, the word strife that is used to describe what was going on between the two sisters, it's really not an appropriate word for this kind of contention in the family. And I just, because of my experience and even in my culture, the right word that we need to use here, it is a word from a different language, from the people of Liberia. Now, with them, when a man had 2 or 3 wives, and they kind of fight among or between the wives, for the husband, it has a specific name. And that name is called Ketu. That name is called Ketu. Now, the English word actually does not describe what was going on. Because the problem between two sisters, you say strife. The problem between two brothers, you say strife. The problem between among friends, you say strife. You use the same word. But in the B language, what was going on between the two sisters, which is Ketu, it can only be used in that context between two mates that are living with a man. You cannot use this word outside of that context. So whatever name that we've been hearing, when Leah had the first child, Leah said, "Oh, your name is Misery. I've been fighting. We call that Ketu name because it's a name that expresses your feeling and your joy." So we'll be using the word interchangeably here, Ketu, in that sense to describe exactly the problem within a polygamous marriage between between two wives or among several wives. You find this from time to time. Even in my own culture, it's there. That's why I decided to bring this word, because when I was coming up, I saw it, and everyone would be fighting over the man. Now, how do I use this? We find out too, why do you propose this? And the reason I propose this, why is this? The reason I propose Ketu in this situation to describe what was going on in Jacob's home is this. Now, when you look at the English language is limited in describing some things, like I talk about strife. And the next thing that we need to talk about here is when you say love. Now, when you say love, the love between a husband and wife, you say love. The love among friends, you say love. The love, God's love and a man's love for God, you say love. Love in family relationship, you say love. Now, you just using the same word, but when you look at the Greek has specific word for each love. That bring distinctions, okay? Love between husband and wife, the Greek call it eros, which is sexual love. And love among friends is phileo or philia. That's other pronunciation. God's type of love is agape. And love within family relationship, parents for their children, is storge. You see, so the Greek has specific word that they use in each case. So the specific and appropriate word that can be used in the case of the problem going on between Leah and her sister with the naming of their children, I can tell you the truth, is Ketu. Because you cannot do that outside of that kind of relationship. It can only be done between two persons who are wives for a particular man, or maybe three persons who are wives for a husband. Whatever they do can only be described in with that word ketu. Now, Rabbi, do you have something to add here? Because I see you have a note.
Yes, you're absolutely right. I believe that ketu arises because our love relationship with God is out of order.
Right.
If God is not first in our life, if he is not our first love, then there will be strife or ketu.
Right.
That's such a great word and way of understanding it.
Right.
You know, all of man is fallen and sinful. Even despite our best intentions, we'll still have times that we fail each other.
Right.
But God does not fail. And in this case, what we have done is made our spouse an idol. You know, and here we see what's happening and the effects of this. One is barren and feeling out of place.
Right.
The other is unloved and looking to the husband for the love. But if we look to God, if we look to our spouse for our happiness, our fulfillment, and comfort, what's going to happen? You know, we at times are going to fail each other.
Surely.
And we're not going to feel the fullness of love. You know, while this sounds like a great thing, and from the American culture, it promotes this perspective. But again, if God is not our first love, this approach will only end in misery.
Right.
You know, only God will not fail us and promises to give us strength and comfort. Everything else is temporal, finite, and short-lived.
And short-lived.
But if we let our love, if he is first and we love him and we learn to love unconditionally and then he flows through us, then that's going to make our relationship so much better. And we're not going to have this K2 or this strife.
That's right.
And this contention going. It starts to change everything. So that was the thing that I noticed here that was happening is that they were looking to each other for all their fulfillment rather than looking to God.
That's it. That's the main point. That's the main point. I agree with you. You nailed it. They were just looking up to each other what they could do. Now, and because they were looking up to each other, see what is happening here. In Genesis 30 verse 1, when Rachel realized that she wasn't having any children for Jacob, she became jealous of her sister. She told Jacob, "Give me sons or I will die." See that? "Give me son or I will die." Now, what really happened? Jacob fired back with anger. Really, Jacob fired back with anger. And he said, in verse 2, "Am I God? Am I the one who refused you babies?" That's what Jacob said. Now, in this case, was Rachel right in attacking Jacob for not giving her children? The point there is that what if Jacob had not hated his first wife, even though it was not a woman that he wanted, but he accepted her based upon the culture? What if Jacob was to love both of the women? What would have happened? What do you think, Rob?
Well, first, is it possible for him to love both of them?
That's the problem.
You know, I don't know if it's... I don't know. I think that's a very difficult thing to do.
That's a difficult thing to do, yeah.
And now, supposing that he was capable of that, I still think they're going to have problems, and here's why.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we see Rachel's reproach and attack on Jacob. What's that reflect about her heart?
Mm-hmm.
Whom should she have gone to first?
God. She's gone to God, but went to Jacob.
Yeah, and so we don't see that. So even if he loves them equally, but God's not first in their lives, then there's still going to be problems.
Right.
So, you know, see, her priorities and her relationships are not in alignment. They're not correct. So that's going to affect her love relationship. You know, and again, I'll point back to, you know, is the need for bearing children biblical or cultural? And does the command in the garden in Genesis 1:28 extend to her? And does it extend to us?
Okay, good.
Things to think about.
Right, it's something to think about. You're right. That's food for thought. Was Jacob right in attacking God for not giving Rachel's children? We don't know. Jacob said, "Where am I, God, to give you? I'm not God." I mean, he did it out of, real anger. I'm not God to do that. Why are you attacking me? But here what follows. Rachel offered her maidservant Bilhah to Jacob to have children for her. Now, she has something in her mind that she wanted to do. And the same thing happened to who? It happened to Abraham, right? Abraham and Sarah. When they were old, in our other lecture, what did Sarah do? Sarah went to Abraham and said, "Abraham, take my maidservant Hagar and go in unto her. Whatever child that she was born will be my child." And don't forget, that was the culture. Whenever you were maidservant and you are given over to your master, whatever child or children you born, they are not for you. They are for the legally married woman. That was the culture. I think we talked about it in one of our videos. So you can go back and see that. So Sarah did the same thing. Now Rachel is saying, my sister got four children right now. Jacob, you need to take Bilhah, my maidservant, so that you will have a son for me, for you. And that was the culture. Now, like Abraham, Jacob accepted the proposal of Rachel and took Bilhah. That's it. We found out the same mistake that Abraham made is being repeated here, Rob. What do you think?
You are absolutely correct. Here again, we see that they're not relying on God. They're going about it by their own means.
By their own means.
You know, and they're taking here they're taking a cultural approach. Rather than giving it up to God and having faith in Him and allowing Him to restore things and to put things in order.
See, you're right. They are relying upon the culture and the way the culture detects things. So it was not upon God. So what do we see in the whole picture of Jacob? We're seeing the grace of God. That's the point I want to make tonight. I've been reserving this point. God spoke to him on his way. "You are the heirs of my promises that I made unto Abraham, to Isaac. You are the heir." And then he went on to say, "Well, the only thing I know, if you can protect me and bring me back here, that's the only way you will be my God. And then I will give you 10% of everything that I own." Does he own anything? No. And at that time, he didn't understand that everything belonged to God. But we see the grace of God in the whole picture. God's grace from the Garden of Eden among men, we see it right there. Was Jacob doing the right thing? Well, you listen to the lecture, read the text yourself. But the grace of God is in the picture. That's the beauty of this study. The beauty of this study is the grace of God working with mankind. It's not Jacob. It's God working out his own to redeem man. Now, Jacob agreed and went into Bilhah. And so what happened? Bilhah had a son. And then Rachel named it. Now, Bilhah had a son who's supposed to name the child according to the culture. It's supposed to be Bilhah. But because Bilhah was a maidservant, and in the culture, once she had that child, the child belongs to the wife, which is Rachel. Rachel named her son Dan. Rachel said, "God took my side and vindicated me. He listened to me and gave me a son." She named him Dan. Vindication. Rob, what do you think about that? That's Ketu right there. Ketu Nin.
Yeah, yeah, you're absolutely right. It's there's furthering the competition, and Dan means the judge. So here we have judgment. I tell you, this has been a fascinating study.
Yeah, I'm excited about this study myself. Each time I get to it, you know.
Yes.
See, so you see right here, and this is Ketu Nin. She expressing her feelings, and she gave her feeling a name. Her feeling name to the feeling she was expressing. I mean, she was having. She gave it as a name to the son. So the name is what? Dan. See, God took my side. God heard my cry. God vindicated me. That's Ketu right there. They're fighting. And this study is very now. Bilhah had the second son. Rachel named the second son of Bilhah Naphtali, which means my wrestling. Rachel said, I have been in an all-out fight with my sister, and I have won. Oh, nah. Okay, Rob.
Yes.
This is plain. What is going on here?
She's basically saying, hey, you've had how many children has Leah had now?
Four. Leah has four so children. She got two now.
Yeah, I'm judging you. I'm wrestling with you. I'm catching up.
I'm catching up? I'm catching up with you.
Yeah. And now we see Leah's response.
Yeah.
This is happening and going on for years. This isn't like days. This is years of this.
This is years. Yeah, right.
Years.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine that? I mean, it's been going on for years, and the kind of life, the kind of Ketu that was between the two sisters. Which, I mean, it was a non-stop. Now, Rachel came and gave her maidservant, Bilhah, to Jacob. Now, Jacob accepted.